Well, hey there, family, and welcome to this week's edition of Steve Reads. Some of y'all done messed up and said you would listen to me read the phone book, the back of a bottle of vitamins, or even those love letters your daddy wrote to somebody who ain't your mommy. But that's not what we're doing this time around. I don't take requests, so don't read this as taking requests, but I thought we'd have a little fun. Y'all seem to like the Shakespeare, so I'm going to read, or perform, or both, some famous Shakespearean monologues, and I want you to see if you know them. I think we can get through three. And what I'd like you to do in the comments is number one through however many we have and put yes or no if you honestly recognize them. Do not post the name of the play. Don't spoil it for other people. I'll reveal the answers when we get to the end. First of all, let us jump into probably what is my favorite play from Shakespeare, which of course I will not identify, and we'll take an early monologue from it. My brother and thy uncle called Antonio, I pray thee mark me, that a brother should be so perfidious, he whom next to thyself of all the world I loved, and to him but the manage of my state, as at that time, through all the signories, it was being first and Prospero, the prime duke, being so reputed in dignity and for the liberal arts, without a parallel, those being all my study, the government I cast upon my brother, and to my state grew stranger, being transported and wrapped in secret studies. And thy faults, uncle, dost thou attend me?
Sir, most heedfully.
Being once perfected how to grant suits, how to deny them, who to advance, and who to trash for overtopping, new created the creatures that were mine, I say, or changed them, or else new formed them, having both the key of office and officer, set all hearts in the state to what tune pleased his ear, now that he was the ivy which had hid my princely trunk. I sucked my verdure out on it. Thou attendest not.
Oh, good sir, I do. I pray then, mark me.
I, thus neglecting worldly ends, all dedicated to closeness and the bettering of my mind, with that which, but being so retired or prized all popular rate in my false brother, awaked an evil nature, and my trust like a good parent did beget of him a falsehood in its contrary as great as my trust was, which had indeed no limit, a confidence sans bound, he being thus lorded, not only with what my revenue yielded, but what my power might else extract, like one who, having into truth by telling of it, made such a sinner of his memory to credit his own lie, he did believe he was indeed the duke, out of the substitution, and executing the outward face of royalty. With all prerogative hints, his ambition grew. Dost thou hear?
Your tale, sir, would cure deafness.
And we'll stop that one. Number one, did you write down on a piece of paper, not in the comments, what you thought it was? If you can identify, there are some character names in there that should have been some context clues. So that was from a comedy. I will give you that hint. And we all know a comedy in Shakespeare just means that no one dies, right? Doesn't mean it's funny at all. So now let's jump over to a tragedy. And let's see what we get here when we lean into a tragedy. Rebellious subjects, enemies to peace, profaners of this neighbor's stained steel, will they not hear? What ho, you men, you beasts, that quench the fire of your pernicious rage with purple fountains issuing from your veins on pain of torture from those bloodied hands, throw your mistempered weapons to the ground and hear the sentence of your moved prince. Three civil brawls, bred of an airy word, by thee, old Capulet and Montague, hath thrice disturbed the quiet of our streets and made Verona's ancient citizens cast by their grave beseeming ornaments to wield old partisans in hand as old, cankered with peace, to part your cankered hate. If you ever disturb our streets again, your lives shall pay the forfeit of the peace. For this time, all the rest depart away. You, Capulet, shall go along with me, and Montague, come you this afternoon to know our further pleasure in this case, to old Freetown, our common judgment place. And once more, on pain of death, all men depart! I think that one's very obvious, so write down number two and get your correct answer there. Do not post it in the comments, whatever you do, that is not what we're doing. You're just going to tell me at the end which ones you got right, which ones you got wrong. So let me jump to another one of my favorites here.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since? And wakes it now to look so green and pale at what it did so freely? From this time hence such I account thy love. Art thou afeard to be in the same in thine own act and valor as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have, which thou esteemest the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem, letting I dare not wait upon I would, like the poor cat in the adage? Prithee, peace. I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none. What beast was it, then, that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more the man, nor time nor place did then adhere, and yet you would make both. They have made themselves, and that their fitness now does unmake you. I have given suck, and know how tender it is to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from its boneless gums and dashed the brains out, had I so sworn as you had done to this.
That would involve nipples and smashing babies. I think we all know what play that is, so write it down on your little piece of paper. And you can tell me if you're right there in the end. I think that one was fairly obvious to you, or it was to me. But then again, I'm looking at the script, so that's where we are on that one. Let's see, where else can we go on this one?
My mistress with a monster is in love, near to her close and consecrated bower. While she was in her dull and sleeping hour, a crew of patches, rude mechanicals that work for bread upon Athenian stalls, were met together to rehearse a play. Intended for great Theseus's nuptial day, the shallowest thick skin of that barren sort, who Pyramus presented in their sport, forsook his scene and entered in a break, when I did him at disadvantage take, an ass's knolf I fixed on his head. Anon his Thisbe must be answered, and forth my mimic comes. When him they spy, as wild geese through creeping fowl or eye or rustled painted chuff, many in sort, rising and calling at the gun's report, sever themselves and madly sweep the sky, so at his sight away his fellows fly. And at our stamp here, o'er and o'er one falls, he murder cries and help from Athens calls, and since thus weak, lost with their fears, thus strong, made senseless things begin to do them wrong, for briars and thorns at their apparel snatch, some sleeves, some hats, from yielders all things catch, I led them on in this distracted fear, and left sweet Pyramus translated there, when in that moment, so it came to pass, Titania walked, and straightway loved an ass.
I think that one's fairly obvious as well, family, but go ahead and write it down. Go ahead and write it down. I believe that's number four on that one. We're going to get a few more of these. These turned out to be a little shorter, a little quicker once you really get into the loving of them. But I enjoyed Shakespeare. I taught Shakespeare for a long time in high school. And as I said earlier in this series, I will fight you over Shakespeare. I really don't care much about your opinion. I do. You are my loving audience and my family, and I care very much about what you think. But when it comes to Shakespeare, we all have our opinions. So let's wrap this up with one more, and then we will reveal our answers. And I think I'm going to have to go back to a tragedy I read before, so we are going to have the same answer twice. And again, context clues, family. This is just one of my favorite exchanges in all of the Bard's works.
Why, what is Tybalt?
Oh, more than a prince of cats, I can tell you. Oh, he is the courageous captain of compliments. He fights as you sing prick song, keeps time, distance, and proportion, rests me his minimum rest, 1, 2, and the third in your bosom. The very butcher of a silk button. A duelist! A duelist! A very gentleman of the first house, of the first and second cause. Ah, the immortal passado, the punto reverso, the high!
The what? The pox of such antic lisping, affecting fantasticos, these new turners of accents. By Jesu, a very good blade, a very tall man, a very good whore.
Why, is this not a lamentable thing, grandsire, that we should be thus afflicted with these strange flies, these fashion mongers, these pardon amies, who stand so much on the new form they cannot be at ease on the old bench? Oh, their bones! Their bones! So, family, if we look back at our quiz, our first monologue,
that we did was from The Tempest. And this, of course, is the Duke of Milan Prospero speaking to Miranda, his daughter, and relaying how his brother has betrayed him. I do love in this section that Prospero refers to magic as being versed in the liberal arts. So that means I went to a magic college that did not admit TERFs. But the liberal arts being used for magic there made me very, very happy. Secondly there, we had the first monologue from the Prince Erebus, in Romeo and Juliet, breaking up that big street fight and warning everyone he's going to kill them. There is some language layered in that whole section where he talks about the violence being so bad between the Montagues and the Capulets that even the old people who were too arthritic and too ancient and look too young or too old to fight, we're rising up to do violence in the name of this. And there's just such great just great language. And when you dig into that piece, by thee, old Cassie, three civil brawls bred of an airy word, by thee, old Capulet and Montague, have thrice disturbed the quiet of our streets and made Verona's ancient citizens cast by their grave-beseeming ornaments to wield old partisans and hands as old, cankered with peace, to part your cankered hate. You know, you're making the old people remember all the old wrongs, and they're having to break their peace to break up your fights. And he lays down the law. And I remember the kid I cast to play Prince Erebus in a couple of different productions of R&J, and it's still one of my favorite speeches. I would never cut this one or trim it. I would just leave it standing. And next, of course, famous scene from the Scottish play, a play we do not name. It is cursed. If you want to find out why the Scottish play is cursed, Google exists. But it involves witches, which is why we're down with it. But in that one, you hear Lady Macbeth, I can say the name attached to the character, if not the name of the play, basically calling her husband a big old wuss because he said it, now he's not going to do it. He had the idea, he's not going to follow through. And this is how she goads him into doing what she needs done, which is the murder of King Duncan. And that's always a good time. I love the Scottish play. I've taught it several times. It's just good stuff. After that, we had a little mischief from A Midsummer Night's Dream from Puck talking about turning a certain actor's head into that of a donkey and then making the fairy queen fall in love with it. For all my folks out there who are into people with donkey heads, I guess, and falling in love with them, there you go. A little furry action for you in Shakespeare. And then, of course, we dove back into Romeo and Juliet with a conversation between Benvolio and the majestic Mercutio discussing one prince of cats, Tybalt, and what Mercutio thought of him, which was not much. And those are two of my favorite characters of all time. Being a ninth grade English teacher, I taught R&J a lot. So a lot of those have very special places with me. Well, that's going to just about do it for this edition of Steve Reads. I hope maybe I don't know if I put you to sleep tonight because I got kind of fiery with some of that that shaky spear there. But either way, I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you soon, family. See you real soon.